We enter into today's Jesus story and the tone quickly gets dark and somber. Imagine Jesus and his extended circle of disciples and followers and tag-alongs, maybe a group of 100 or so. They're getting close to the village of Nain, a small town that's 10 kilometers south of Jesus' home base, Nazareth. The crowd is noisy and rammy. They start to quiet down because they meet up with this other crowd. It's a sad but familiar sight. A widow, barely able to walk, distraught with tears and grief, with this small clan of supporters at her side. This time it seems even more somber because the body of the dead person is one of a younger person, a younger man. The religious funeral is done, and now the body is en route to a burial site just outside the town. Some in Jesus' crowd recognize the widow. They gasp and say, "Isn't that the widow who only had one son, and now he's dead?" That poor woman's days are numbered. No future, no hope. And Jesus' people prepare to shuffle by quietly. Maybe they're looking downwards at the ground so that they don't have to make eye contact with the grieving men and the weeping women. But Jesus does not pass them by. He sees the heartbroken widow and is moved in his gut with compassion. He raises his hands and tells the mourners to stop. And looking at the sad and dejected crowd, he says, "Blessed are you, you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, you will laugh." Then he looks at the widow and says, "Woman, do not weep." He moves towards the uncovered coffin that's elevated by 6 pallbearers, and he touches the wooden frame. He says to the linen-wrapped body, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sits up and begins to speak. Jesus takes him in his hands and guides him out of the coffin into the disbelieving embrace of his mother. Fear seizes the crowd. Some shout, "What kind of authority and power is this? He commands the dead to life?" Others proclaim, "Glory, glory to God in the highest. The mighty one has done great things." And others cry out, "This is the new Elijah. The new Elijah has risen among us. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people." And the word of the Lord spread throughout the regions of Galilee. A resurrection story. 10 weeks before Easter, everybody. 17 chapters away from the discovery of the empty tomb. Perhaps the gospel writer Luke knows that we need some hopeful news early in this gospel. And even if you take a sneak peek to the last half of today's chapter, you'll find that even Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, while languishing and losing sight of the big picture in prison, needs confirmation. Is Jesus everything he's cracked up to be? What about us, sitting in our pews today, seeking to follow Jesus in the midst of our vocations and our callings? Where's the journey leading you these days? Perhaps you haven't been in a funeral procession this week, but maybe life feels lifeless, or hopeless, or listless. The good news of today's story is that Jesus sees you. Not because you cry out to him, not because you reach out to touch the hem of his robe, not because of your vibrant faith that makes Jesus so proud of you today. Jesus sees you because he's moved in his gut with compassion for you and your corner of the world. But he's not just moved in his gut with compassion for you, but he's moved in his gut with compassion for the whole world. Compassion for all the cosmos. Just a few weeks ago, we sang the Song of Mary, and perhaps we need to join with her again, that chorus where she said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. Mary, just like our weeping woman, did not do anything to earn this favor. Because Jesus is Lord of the intrusion, Lord of the interruption. He barges into the saddest, most broken, busted up places of our lives and says, "Do not weep." And the reason he can say, "Do not weep," is because he can touch those places. He can touch those devastated and disappointed places and speak words of resurrection. Jesus says, "I am a mighty Savior. I will save you from your enemies, from the grips of those who hate and oppress you. I will show you mercy. I will rescue you. I will forgive you." I've been encouraging us to read through the Gospel of Luke in this season of Epiphany. And if you look back over the cries and the songs and the proclamations of all these people in the Jesus story so far, you see this repeating pattern of people saying, "Yes, this Jesus, I'm amazed. I don't understand him all the time, but he proclaims to us good news." When Zechariah recognized the life and the hope and presence of Jesus, Zechariah said this, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and those who sit in the shadow of death, light to guide our feet in the way of peace." This is good news. This is how Jesus intrudes and interrupts our lives, proclaiming resurrection promises, breathing upon us the winds of new creation. So here we are. We're left to respond with the crowd. And the crowd in the Gospel of Luke doesn't always respond well. We might have read earlier where Jesus declares what he's going to do, a new time has come. And what does the crowd do? They say, "Let's hurl this man off a cliff." Today's response is a little more encouraging. The crowd of onlookers are struck with awe. They're stopped in their tracks. They're amazed, gobsmacked. And they don't stop there. They start glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. God has looked favorably upon his people." And so as we move towards the table of our intruding Lord today, we too have the opportunity to glorify God, to give thanks. The word Eucharist, which is sometimes used to describe what we do at the Lord's table or communion, in the Greek is Eucharisto, which means to give thanks. So as we move to the table today, we recognize God's grace, kindness, and mercy. We receive it into our hands, and we say, "Thanks be to God." And as we do so, we join the people of this story. We join the people who worship and praise in the city, around the world today, and we proclaim the good news of Jesus. I appreciated Rossam sharing his message today of how they're going to join with Christians and unbelievers alike and point them to this Jesus who offers life and promise and healing and speaks resurrection to those dead places in all of our lives. I want to invite us to one other way of working with resurrection this week. Keep company with Jesus. Keep company with Jesus. This phrase, keep company with Jesus, is at the heart of a practice that Eugene Peterson calls practice resurrection. He borrows that from a Wendell Berry poem, practice resurrection. And Peterson exhorts us to live our lives in the practice that does not originate or not anticipate in our own strength. He says, when we practice resurrection, we continuously enter into what is more than we are. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present, who knows where we are going better than we do, which is always from glory to glory. I'm going to read that last sentence again. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present, who knows where we are going better than we do, which is always from glory to glory. So today is another opportunity for us to live as those who keep company with Jesus. May Jesus intrude upon our lives today. Come, Lord Jesus, come might change into a prayer of intrude, Lord Jesus, intrude. Interrupt us, shake us up, wake us up. And may Jesus' words of life send us forth to spread the good news of favor, of life-giving presence, that all flesh might see the salvation of our God.